All right. So I want to now just take a look at how the Rishonim handle a couple of issues in terms of our sugya. So if we start with the Tosfos, we've I think discussed Rashi's in Tosfos Dibur Maskil Avol. Anybody want to read efficiently for me? Ronnie, can you read efficiently? You will read correctly, that I know. Go ahead. Okay, so that is that it's better to interpret that way. Now, who would have thought otherwise? So note, by the way, that in the Yerushalmi, there is the way Rabbi Shua ben Levi presents it. It's not this presentation of the Halakas. The Chacham Lamodah for Rabbi Yehuda, that when you're not eating pas afterwards, that you have to connect. It's not because Shivas Aminim per se, but because the Bracha Achron is on Shivas Aminim. You may make bracha chana on the Shiva Seminik as well. What would compel anybody to say that in this Gemara is entirely unclear. But Tosos and others also say, if there's not the only one who say that, it doesn't make sense to have that with Rashba, right?
Well, it's really easier to read the Mesir and saying, Ham, don't call it what you've done in this case.
Well, only if you depends on what you think the Gemara said. So what Ula said, and if Ula's Iker point is that, I don't know how you put it together. Ula's Iker point, I think, and that's why the Meisei responds to it, is that in Brachos Seim Shabbos, one bracha is not put to the other food, and therefore it doesn't really matter what order you put it. And then what emerges the second, in other words, the first statement he's making is that there are two things in Ula. One is that one bracha is not put to the other. The second is, once one bracha is not put to the other, then nobody cares about kedima. So the Gemara is, before you get to the second one, because if one bracha passes the other, then it's a machlokas b'shem b'chashem shavasu. So in order to get to the second one, you have to first attack, if you attack the first line of reasoning, which is that Ula was saying that a bracha on hadama does not pater ha'etz food if you don't make the bracha on ha'etz food, you made another thing. So you didn't even get to the second part of kedima, because it reduces it to the first, to the original machlokas. Well, no, I think you can buy into the Bavli 100%, but recognize that Ula's Kiddush is, in other words, the opening question, undoubtedly, the Meisvei cannot be about the machlokas. The Meisvei has to be about what he asserts the din is for the Rabbanim.
Right. I mean, you don't have to have a central transition of two brachas, one bracha.
If
you always make two brachas.
No, if you always make one bracha. If you always make one bracha, then Ula's statement falls apart. So his statement is, number one, you need two brachas. And number two, once you need two brachas, doesn't matter which comes first. So the Gemara attacks initially the first premise and says, what are you talking about? You only require one bracha, which is the tzon, and the Hadamah covers his eyes. The Gemara deflects that kasha by saying, no, in a normal tzon and zayis case, you require two brachas, but not in this one. So then the Gemara says, okay, wait, it knew the second part of the Braisa, but Rabbi Yehuda says, how could you be Mevarech al Zayis if it's known as Ikar? So which the Gemara is finally forced to say, no, this whole piece of the Braisa missed. So I think it's fine so far. So that, Tosa says that this would be the preferential way of seeing things. And now, continue. The Hitcharashi. We don't need to do that. Okay, the In Tomar. Skip this set. Go to the next part, In Tomar. That's 6-7 lines down, beginning of the line. Okay, so if you're going to... If we know that Bar Kapara was not happy that he made a bracha on the Shahako first, clearly he's supposed to make a bracha on the Ha'adama first. So why doesn't the same rule apply by Ha'itzan Adama? Because if the whole idea is that the more specific the bracha is, it's supposed to have kedima, it's a more hashav bracha because it's being more precise than the other brachos, so then you should make Ha'itzan before Adama. So why would he say in our Gemara by the Tzidon and the Zayis, Mevorech al Eisen and Hem Sheyirtza? What do you mean? You should have to make, you make two brachos, but you should make a bracha on the Zayis first and then on the Tzidon. So he says,
Yeshomar, the Lord Hashub is the Arsboka, the way of the Adama. The Moshe Hashub is the
Adama. So there's a quantitative difference in the quality of, in the delta between prophets. So, you know, Shahakol is a 3. Ha'adama is an 8. Ha'eitz is a 9. So if you have a 3 and an 8, you definitely have to make the bracha an 8. An 8 and a 9. Yeah, it's a little bit of it. Not enough that you have to do it that way. But then he says, "Amar Shakasal." The Hag says you have to make Ha'eitz before you make Ha'adama. So that's only within the second lashon. And within Rabbi Yehuda, Pasuk Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Mahag is assuming. Now, but on the High Mishnah, hey, Rashi, I presume his svar is the why. In other words, it is clear that if it's not Ikar and Tafel, then, according to the way the Gemara reads it, everybody holds you can make all these emissions you say, and what that... It's not explicit, by the way. I mean, it is pretty explicit. So he's saying the Baha'i is only working within the second Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to the first Lashon, there is no preference of Kedima whatsoever. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to make on the Shemesh Amina, which means you don't have to make on the fruit before you make on the vegetable. Okay. So Meisve. Okay, so the question is on the two premises that are entailed in Ula's statement. Number one, that you make two brachos. Number two, that it doesn't matter which bracha you make first. So this Meisvei challenge is the first premise. Who said that when you make a bari kriya dama on a banana, that you still have to make a bari kriya eitz on an apple? You don't, according to the Brisa, at least the initial reading of the Brisa. So the answer is? Okay. There's a problem with the Girsa at the end. There's a very interesting suggestions of what this means, so don't read the rest of the Tosas. Okay. But bottom line is that... according to the Meisvei, Hadama would pater Ha'itz foods. Even though you made the Hadama on Hadama foods, it would cover the Ha'itz foods as well. All right, so now the Gemara turns its attention. So that, I think that is how you read the Shatim of the time. Now the Gemara quotes the other Shita, and the Gemara asks, skip a Tosos, Rani, go to B'mai Pligi first. So notice Tosos, like Rashi, Tosos is very explicit, understands that the question of the Gemara, Ramai Pligi, is what is Rabbi Yehuda thinking, not what are the Chacham thinking. The Chacham, we understand, you need to make two brachos, you have two foods, make whichever bracha you want, and it's really fine. But Rabbi Yehuda, why are you insistent that even though he wants to make the bracha one, he's got to make the bracha on the Shemesh Aminim? He's going to make bracha on the Shemesh Aminim anyway. Who cares whether he makes it first or he makes it second? And the answer is, no, Mishani, that deepest half of the Hakama. Now, Hakama really actually does matter. It's not just that you make the bracha on Shemesh Aminim. It's good to make that bracha first. So now, Amr of Yirmiya Lahatim, this is the answer. Then Rabbi Yosef, go back to previous Tosos. I actually read too quickly. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Lahafkin, Din.
Yeah.
Amar Rav Yosef. Go ahead. Who was Rabbi Shmaya, by the way? What? I think it's the Talmud of Rashi. What? Yeah. Yeah, because I think he played a large role, although his name often fell out in the Parish of Chumash. Of Rashi, where Shmaya put things in, he said, the master told me to put this in, or something like that, so I assume that's this Rabbeinu Shmaya. So he had a girsa of Amar. No De Amar, but Amar Rav Yosef. It's a new thing, and therefore so there's a word understood here, the Asya Libe the Rabbanu. What's the word that's missing here, but that's understood? Excellent. Afilu. The Asya Afilu Rabbanu. It's not that it's Dafka Rabbanu. For the Rabbanu, if that word should be changed without even reading. I should have what's had the word to be changed to? I'm guessing it should be Dibaha. What does he change it to? Dibaha. You could figure it out. Most of these emendations that the Bach makes, most of them you should be able to figure out yourself. You may not be thinking, but once you read carefully, and then if you look at the Bach, you say, well, of course. So, the Baha.
Has
lean on
the time done. The E, the Hoya being,
yeah. If for the Rabbanan, if you're dealing within Shiva Saminim, and one of them is Chaviv, so of course the Chaviv overrides to be in the Pasach, I'll leave it to the Rabbanan. Why? The Ha. This is the Rashba's Tabachom Mikhtos. This is the Ha. Right. If by non-Shiva Saminim and Shiva Saminim, the Chachamim say, if you prefer the non-Shiva Saminim, make a bracha on that first. And Kavachomer, if you're already getting Shiva Saminim, then you should make the bracha on whichever one you like first. So, but it means there's a case where I just don't care. I love figs. I love dates. They're both excellent. Fresh figs and fresh dates are phenomenal. Some of the dried ones. So therefore, I don't really care. Which one do I first? Okay, so it says, which would come first? The figs or the dates? Sydney?
According to the end of the Gemara, the dates.
The dates, because it's Sheni La'aretz, whereas the figs are Rivi La'aretz. Okay. So,
where is the other tie?
Tie goes to the first side, but you can't really in Birchas and Shabbos. The Schita and Sa'ora are one and two. So, okay, so. Umilta. Right. It's not the explanation what Rav Yirmiyahu holds that you can say Rav Yirmiyahu's Teretz if you hold like Rav Yosef, but rather it's a separate statement. Okay, we established that Rav Yehuda holds that Kedima matters even by two brachas. So now when we are talking about potentially by one bracha, whichever one comes first earlier in the passage is going to get the bracha. Now for Rav Yehuda and even one bracha, and for the Chacham, if you have no preference between the two, then whichever is earlier in the passage will get the bracha. What was the proof here? Tosis did not spell it out. The other Mishonim spell it out. I think Tosis Rush also may spell it out. I don't remember. How does this prove the Shat Shmayarom? How does this prove that Rav Yosef has to be Daphne of Rabbi Huda? Eitan? If Bishlama, if this is Rabbi Yehuda who says that Shiva Saminim and Kedimus within the Pasuk are definitional obligations, right? You have to make that your first thing that you do. So then I understand why he looked at it and said, hey, wait, you're, according to what he thought, if you're not doing the first one, early one in the pasuk, you're doing one that's later in the pasuk. And the answer is, no, I'm doing one that's earlier in the pasuk, it's closer to Erev. But if you say that it works in Ma'ariv the Rabbanan, why didn't he consider the possibility when Rav Chisda, why did Rav Chisda consider the possibility that Hamnuna had no preference, had a chavit? Maybe Rav Hamnuna liked dates better than he liked grapes. Then pomegranates. He liked dates better. So what was Rav Chisda so puzzled about? Bishlama, if you say this statement is only within Rabbi Yosef, only within Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Chisda is assuming we pass the like Rabbi Yehuda, which is why he challenged Rav Hamnuna. Why are you doing that? Do you not believe that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Kedima in between? So I understand why he didn't have the obvious answer, was that Rav Hamnuna preferred dates over pomegranates. But if he did hold like the Chacham, if Rabbi Yosef could work within the Chacham as well, if the Chacham believe that if you have no Chaviv, that there's Kedima to the Shiva Saminim, and there's Kedima within the Shiva Saminim, so why didn't he just assume that the reason why he made a bracha a number seven and not a number five was because he liked seven better than five? So from this you see that Chaviv, that this whole idea of being Machdim in the Pasuk has nothing, it's not related to the Chachamim Shita who hold the Chaviv, it's related to Rabbi Huda Shita. Rabbi Huda believes that Shiva Samin will have Kedima, and then obviously in further dim within that is within Shiva Samin that there is Kedima. Shimi.
Yonatan pointed out a few days ago that this only really shows that Rav Hamnuna and Rav Chisda hold like Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily that you couldn't hold like this and also like Rav Chachamim. Because
They hold like Rabbi Yehuda,
but you could also hold like the Tema if not holding like him, like Rabbi Yehuda.
So you're saying that this maskana proves that it doesn't prove that Rabbi Yosef couldn't work with the Chachamim. It's proving that Rav Chisda assumed, at the very least in his question, that we passed like Rabbi Yehuda. Sounds correct to me. I don't see a way around that. It would just make a very odd flow of the sugya. But you're right. It might not be mochach. It proves, which is the proof that many Rishonim do bring, that we pass the Rabbi Yehuda, is the maskana of the sugya. But you can only prove that the mas... Well...
Still have
the
Maskana proof that we hold
the Kedima. Right. I'm here. If you want to see the expanded version of it, in Agos Tzion he quotes Christopher Beta Peretz, who spells out what Eitan described. Okay. Fine. All right. So let's take a look now. Just a couple of more things. Tamidei Ren Yona. Yeah.
It could still be that we're from say like Ram and Rafis. Like just because it doesn't say Ahmad and it doesn't make it a standalone statement, it doesn't mean that it could take what may have been an original Halakha.
What I want you definitely can hold like Ula and Rav Yosef for sure. As long as Bircha Sam Shabbos. Ula would just say, E Bircha Sam Shabbos, if you're going to make two brachos on two foods, that's Ula would say for sure that if you're being Kosis Sachita and you want to eat a grape, it doesn't really matter what order you do with it. Because you're making Adam, you're making Ains. it's Rabbi Yochasev Shabbos. If it's a grape and a pomegranate, then Ula might agree, he doesn't have to, he might agree with Rabbi Yosef. He might agree with Rabbi Yosef that, yeah, call a kol nirpasa is kol nirbracha. Just like a shiva sevin is kol them, so too a kol a kol nirpasa. Who clue does not work within Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Yerushalmi, the Moshe understands it. Because if you have two things from the Shiva Taminim, and the bracha is going to go on, it's not impossible, it seems unlikely. I guess no, it's not true, because that's only a Libra the Chacham, Libra the Rehuda, the soul of Tzidim. Never mind. Okay. You understand what I'm speaking? If it's a question of tying the bracha Shona to the bracha Achrona, so then it shouldn't really matter which one of the Shiva Taminim you make. Assuming it's the same, you know, if you're making a Al eight on fruit that you made the bark grapes in the first place, what the mix doesn't make, but that's only within the Chachamim according to the Shulam.
He was
Chachamim
Moda for Huda, and in
terms of
the Moda, you
gave claim
to the earlier.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think the Chachamim would be Moda to the Dimas part, because they would probably say, no, for the Chachamim, you just need to have the Bracha Main Shalosh at the end connect to the Bracha Rishona. So for the Rabbanan, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. Which should have sent me the fruit you made the bracha Rishona on, the main shalosh will have to be able to connect to something. That's why if that's within the Rabbanon, not necessarily that's where Rabbi Yehuda sheet is. Right? Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the Gatol Lechal Pasach HaRei, you're supposed to make, but there is no bracha Rishona, you're supposed to make a bracha on the Shiva Sanim. So that Rabbi Yehuda could still hold that of Tadima, not only Shiva Sanim versus other foods, but Tadima within Shiva Sanim. Okay. Well, though they quoted it at the end, they quoted it from that. So probably they do. They quote that Rabbi that Rabbi Yosef at the end, the Tam and Amr. And they do quote this idea of Kalmuk Nirmas. They don't do anything with it.
Because, I mean, what does that mean? You can't just quote that. You know, the bad, but it will fit with any other sheet that was quoted previously.
I'm sorry?
Does that make it a very
short? No, but they don't make. I don't know what they're thinking about. They're aware of such a. It's not. I was about to say, well, you know, if the family says nothing, then you should assume they're not thinking about it, but the family does say something about it, so you just don't know. No, wait a minute.
Where does the authority come from to possibly
being Rabbi Yehuda, you mean?
Yeah.
There's not a problem with the Gemara apostate at Das Yachid. The Gemara about that, we just assume normally it doesn't. So our job is to try to read the sugya and to see what the sugya is assuming. But we have cases where we don't pass the majority opinion. We have plenty of cases.
But on what basis is it at the last? I guess trying to read the marks, it's not clear if it's assuming like this stuff continues, but like what's understood is the function by which that's like the tip of scale.
That's a good question. Can anybody try to take a stab at answering that question? I mean, you're saying Jake looks and says, maybe, well, that's your job. And somebody asks a good question like that. It wasn't in the preparation of the chorus. I think the answer is a fairly simple one. If there's a machlokas between me and the Gemara, or let's say the Rosh Yeshiva get together as a collective, and we disagree with the Gemara, who do you follow, the Rosh Yeshiva or the Gemara? Why?
Yeah, but we are
maybe
Gemara canon.
Okay, so it's convention. The convention is that we don't argue on the Gemara. I've given an example, I think I mentioned in passing very recently, that in situations where the Rovat Sibur, where the observing Klai Yisrael doesn't hold the particular, doesn't apply, such then we'll say, oh, because the reason doesn't apply, the theory doesn't apply. And I suggest that that's really Gebra Vimini, Gebra Shalimini, Tzav Minach HaTiro, the meaning that was Klai Yisrael's acceptance of the Babli, the minute it was not there, is Klai Yisrael's non-acceptance in this context. It makes for the Xera Musnes, right, a contingent Xera, not an absolute Xera. So, by right, when the Gemara paskins with Das Yachid, the Gemara is entitled to paskin against both opinions if the Gemara really wanted. The Kesef Mishnah says on the Rambam there, at the beginning of the second paragraph of Hosmanim, the Rambam says that any abasin can overturn the Daraisa interpretations of the abasin, even if they are inferior to them by Chachmah Minyan. So the Kesef Mishnah asks, why then can't Amar Rav argue in Tanaim? Why can't we argue in the Gemara? And the answer is just convention. But by right, the Amoraim should be able to disregard all of Tanaim's opinions. But the agreement was that didn't anybody who argued all the Tanaim, their position is rejected. So here, when the Gemara is adopting a Das Yachid, it's because the notion of being bound by the earlier opinions in the first place was my convention, so they decided we're not accepting it under these circumstances. That's all. Good question. I never, that's such a basic, an obvious question. I never thought about that, but now I have. Okay, so let's take a look. Rabbi Ben Yoma, Ubeferish. All right, it's the Tiberi Vassal Beferish. Ode Kasaba Alachos Gedolos. Who would like to read for me, Jake? Read. You know that's how I do it. Boaz, yours. Any other stoners besides Boaz?
Okay,
he wants me to record on the tape. It means he went to Camp Stone. That's what he does. Hot. Okay, so it's recorded on the tape. So that if long before your time, that's a Yehuda Roth thing. The best time ever in Camp Stone for me is Motzei Shabbos, Havdalah, when the assignments are handed out. Now you only saw Yaakov Esti do it, but in a Dome, you know, this is a case where we say what?
Like more strict.
No. It was just the way. It was really so much fun. Watch it. So, anyway, so that's in the spirit of volunteerism, Jake. I appreciate your volunteer spirit. Go ahead. That shows you that one is narrower versus broader. Okay? And broader is better. It's like the analogy, it's not exactly the same thing. But here's a piece of dating advice, marriage advice. When you apologize, don't just say, I'm sorry. Explain what you did as well. Right? That's also reflected, by the way, in the halacha. And when a person does vidui, what do you have to do? Tarech lifrat esachet. So it's a more meaningful vidui, a more meaningful apology when you specify what you did. It's also a more meaningful thank you, just not a stamp thank you, but thank you for doing this for me. Right? Acknowledging what specifically was done. So the more specific you are, the more better kind of a praise it is. So the Baal HaChas Gadol says, okay, you make a eitz first. The Ein Zedira, Natrei Rachmana Uparke. May God watch him and receive him. Right, and the problem is, the Baruch Hashem Chosim Baruch Hazeh suggests what? Yes, but it also suggested that it doesn't matter what order. Now, if you're going to strip away, it doesn't matter what order. I'm sorry. If you're going to tell me that it doesn't come to teach us the din of kedima klal, and all it comes to teach us then is what? Why can't it be coming to teach us the din of kedima? Well, because it doesn't tell us what the din is. It tells us mevarich al ezem mehem she. I'm sorry, mevarich al zeh, mechozer mevarich al zeh. If it doesn't teach you that there's no hakpada on kedima, then it means you can't learn from it that there is hakpada on kedima. You're saying don't learn from it that there's no hakpada on kedima, and really there is hakpada which is not mentioned here. In which case, what is the only chiddush of mevarich al zeh mechozer mevarich al zeh? That you have to make two brachas. That's the only thing teaching you. So he says the aim. Oh, so Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't deny the fact that one of the purposes of the statement is Chozer Mevarich HaZeh Chozer HaZeh most certainly teaches you that you need two brachas. But if you didn't want to imply to us that Kinyan doesn't matter, that you could do whatever order you like, then there was a better way to say it that would have taught us only the Chiddush that you need for the two brachas, which is the Ein Zeh Poter Zeh, rather than saying Mevarich HaZeh B'Chozer Mevarich HaZeh. But once you formulate this Mevarich HaZeh B'Chozer Mevarich HaZeh, it sounds like it's not just teaching that you make two brachas, but that you make whichever bracha you want to make first. And that means if you're dealing with a tzion and a zayis, and the bracha on the tzion is adama, and the bracha on the zayis is ha'eitz, you make whichever bracha you want first. That means you can make ha'adama before ha'eitz. You can make ha'adama before ha'eitz. Okay. Hilkach. Okay. So that's what he says. He thinks that we pass it. Obviously, who do we pass to? Chachamim or Akuda? He doesn't state explicitly, but who we pass to like, according to Rainer. What? And which who we pass to like, Ula or the other Chad, whichever of Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzhak? Ula. Therefore, two things with the bracha Borei Pri Ha'etz. One is Shivas Hamin, and one is not. You make the bracha on the Shivas Hamin. Two foods where have different brachas. One is Ha'etz, one is Ha'dama. You can make which either bracha you want first. And two foods within the Shivas Haminim, what would the din be? You make a bracha on the mukta. The one problem that he points out that we face for the Bahag, which I didn't ask you to read this paragraph, but we've spoken about it in Shir, is if you follow the rule of Mukdam and you have Klayos and you have grapes, which do you make the bracha on first? In fact, if you have Klayos of Chitim and you have anything else, what do you make the bracha on first? Klayos. What's the bracha on Klayos? Adama. That precedes the eight. So he fetches two terutz. He gives two terutz. One terutz is that the kedimos, rules of kedimos from the pasuk are only within one bracha. In other words, if you have a grain and it's a choice between chita and sora, then you choose chita. If it's a fruit, then the order of the fruits that you eat is never a tie. What would the order of the fruits be in terms of brachas? Shani?
Zayit, tamar, anavim, ke'ena, aryon.
It would be that order. It would actually be, within the order of the pasuk, it would be 6, 7, 3, 4, 5. That's what it would be, because the 6 and the 7 are really occupy the 1 and 2 slots with respect to the word aretz. Since there's no tie, it works out very thinly. Okay, one other note here. What's the second teretz? The second teretz is, we're not talking about klayos. Klayos might not have kedima. They're not very chashuv. If you want it, you know when you make a bracha on chita and sarah first? Or mizonos. Mizonos of bread. Okay, now. So most Rishonim, not all Rishonim, many Rishonim, pass like Rabbi Yehuda. I should say most Rishonim, many do. There is one other snach, and some of you, I hope, looked at the Rashba. We're not going to read the Rashba, but we've spoken about never elements. There's one. The Rashba is able to concede a possibility, which we're going to read the Ra'al. We have to talk about that last line in Gemara. Why is that not a proof for Rabbi Yehuda? But the Rashba actually has a different source that we saw to suggest that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the Bracha Ptichim and Shleimus. And particularly Yerushalmi, because you remember the Tosefta says Stam. What happens if you have barley and spelt? Which do you make which bread do you make Barbarte on? Anybody remember this? We have a Bechina coming up. Chazor will begin next week. So for the newcomer, my Bechinas are not they're not cruel and unusual punishment. But you have to chazara. But what do we say in the Sefer say about Tzor and Ibuslin? Only two people remember. Okay. If you have pas chitim, pas sorim, excuse me, pas putz, and pas puslin. Which do I both say on? Jake? Why? From Shiras Sabina. Okay, so is Kusvin, except that Kusvin is not mentioned explicitly. It's a minfita. Fine. So what does Yerushalmi say about that? Tosefta. Says it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So you have a stam Tosefta, you know, which assumes, like Rabbi Yehuda, when Yerushalmi reads it.
That was the last line.
Rabbi Yaakov, I think, said that it's Rabbi Yehuda's view. So that's the reason the Rashba says, and he thinks that the whole discussion of Chikim and Sorim, why this is a little like Tosas actually. Why does Prusa Shachitim and Shlema Shosarim, why does Prusa Shachitim come first? So Tosas thought this is what Tosas said also on Lamed Hesed days. What was that? Because of Kedima, because it's Shiva Saminim, it's early in the Pasuk. Whereas others say, no, what are you talking about? You know why Paschitim takes precedence of why Prusa Shachitim is better than Shlema Shosarim? Because Sor is animal food. The Chitim tastes better. Humans eat. So the Rashba thinks that's also Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and everybody seems to accept that. That's what Rashba thinks we pass that way. But the last question in our sugya is, okay, if you don't want to go down that road, how does... That's a terrible typo. I assume you all figured out it was the Chidush Ara, so I should see if I put it in the bottom that way. Sorry. Just to ask. Who is Rashba? Normally, by the way, unless the source is readily available, you know, unless it's Gemarashi Tosis, the Rashi Rabbeinu Yona, I put it on the source sheets. It will happen this year. That's the goal, generally. I've become torn about putting the Makoros on there, when other Gemaras, because I'd like you to go look them up, not rely upon my source sheet. But the problem is, I don't shear, you're not going to have a shas with you. So, okay. So, what does the Ra'os say? So let's read the Gemara. Let's first read the end of the Gemara, okay? And Jake, just finish the end of the Gemara and you'll complete your term of service. But, like jury duty comes in shear, except for that, because it's a small shear, it comes very quickly.
Jury duty
comes
under the low population.
What's that?
Jury duty.
A very low population, that's correct. Okay. Anyway, so, skip to the top of the mouth on the days. Rav Chista ver Hamnuna. So he's saying, now he's assuming, and this is correct what Yonathan said, that it sounds like we're working within Rabbi Yehuda. Right, because otherwise, why didn't he assume that he made the bracha on the Tamre because he liked them more? If you gave me a choice between Tamre and Ribone, you both, but I would definitely take Marim first. It's a no-brainer. So he says, most rarely, Marim the Hadar of Yosef, he came of Yitzhak, Kalamokka, the Pasa, the Kodom of Bracha, Amalei. So, which is how close you are to the land. And he responds, Amarlei.
What exactly does that metaphor mean?
It means that, firstly, Nishmi Nach means. No, Rashi already tells you that. When you say Sham'e the Rav Ploni, what is Sham'e? Shamish. That's the Aramaic, it's about the Aramaic term. Shamish is Shamish. Shamish. So we will serve you. It means the way you learn is from Shemesh Tami Vechachamim. So the problem is they couldn't, I don't know where he lived, where he traveled, but they would have to obviously travel to see him. And it is hard walking. So he said only if we had the Parzalot, Rashi says, Raglayim Shal Barzal. Okay. What? Oh, that's standard. Parzalot. Yeah. Hand and bass are the same sound, just voiced and unvoiced. Say with only your lips, but B sound. I said say the B sound. You're saying T. That's your homework. Oh, do your homework. What was your homework?
Oh, I did it.
What was your homework? I know you had homework. What was it?
It was to see who comes first, the Rabban.
Yes.
Sorry.
Did it take so long to do?
It didn't take so long. it takes so short.
Okay. All right. So, sit out. What were the results? Your homework tonight is to come into Shir tomorrow and master saying a bus sound without voicing it. As a mathematician, Ronnie, you should appreciate my I think computability exam where someone did not read the exam first because the instructions said to read it and then said skip the first five questions through this. But amongst the first five questions you might appreciate were to prove. Well, first of all, this is before it was proven, not that any familiar with Fermat's last theorem, and the four color problems, and all these tricks on proof of theory. So that's like giving somebody that homework. So don't bother, you're fine. Jake.
Okay. So from the 44 Mishnah, I got through Perik Shmi.
Okay.
from 27 were inconclusive.
Okay.
11 had the Tana Kama first and then a rabbi.
Okay.
And 6 had a rabbi and then a cardinal.
Okay. So right now, on a very small sample, it's almost 2-1. Exactly. So it's a little more common than I would think, but I think that is certainly a far more common option. You know, again, this is a very small sample. So if you had a sample 3 times the size, it would probably be more meaningful. Okay. And if you want to write a master's thesis on the Mishnah, you could do multiple mesechtas and then determine whether or not some mesechtas are different than others. Okay, I suspect the answer is going to be no. I think the Mishnah is mostly a uniform one. Mostly uniform one. Okay, so anyway, so if only we could always be Mishamish. So the simple reading of the Gemara, when he asked them, why do you not hold Rabbi Yosef? Because if you held the Rabbi Yosef, you would have made a bracha on the Rimonim first. And his answer was, no, I hold the Rabbi Yosef, but Samarim comes first. But in the Havamina, why did he think that he couldn't hold the Rabbi Yosef? Why not just say that one of them was chavit? And that's why he made the bracha. He liked dates better, even though dates are number 7 and rimonim are number 5. So the question assumed that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and that chavit is not an option. Chavit is not an option. In other words, chavit would be irrelevant. The Rabbanan, the answer was chavit. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then chavit is not an answer, and kedima should have to happen. So why didn't you do it? So maybe you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that shivas aminim, you have to make the bracha on them, but there's no bit of kedima within the pasuk. What's shivas aminim? It's shivas aminim. But you only get to that point if you're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. So he answers that, oh, you understand Rabbi Yosef. I am following Rabbi Yosef with Rabbi Yehuda. I hold not only the Shiva Saminim as Allah who Lavarech, but even that within Shiva Saminim you have Kedima, when you're only making at least one bracha. That's what the Gemara says. The Ra'ag comes along, or the Ra'ag comes along and says, what? That's Reish Ayim Kavala. Not even close to that. So what does the Ra'ah say? Rav Aaron Halevi Barcelona, Lewis. So how does the Ra'ah understand this? If this is a case, the Ra'ah says this so subtly that if you didn't understand everything else that Rishon was saying, or you didn't read the footnotes in the Ra'ah, you have no clue as what the Ra'ah is driving at.
So maybe I'm not on point with this, but I thought he was saying, like, meaning he's neutralizing Rabbi Yehuda's
riot. Yes, exactly. That's the point. It's hard to. He just tells you. He was asking him if he wanted to know is that he held of Chavivus or some other reason. Like,
or I mean, or it seems like he held of both, but which one's he operating on right now?
Well, the point is that is it that he held? Did he make the bracha on the tvarim because it's chavit, or for a different reason? But it's not that he assumed it's not that he assumed that Chaviv plays no role in relationship to Kima. In other words, he understood in the question, maybe the reason why you made the bracha on the last one and you didn't follow Rabbi Yosef is because it's Chaviv, and Chaviv, even the Rabbanan who hold Rabbi Yosef, assume that Chaviv takes precedence over Kedima in the pasuk. Or perhaps he had some different svara, right? It couldn't be that there was no, none was Chaviv to him, and he held the Rabbi Yosef, and he didn't make the bracha on the rebellion. Until the Huna says to him, no. Chaviv, I have no Chaviv here. And Kedimus does matter when you have no Chaviv, except for I did the one that's earlier. Earlier is defined as closer to Aretz. So the Ra'ah is coming, yes, Lafuke, from that whole sheet in Rishonim, this end of the Gemara proves that you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because if you hold like the Rabbanan, there's no role for Kedimus in the Pasuk. The answer is there is a role for Kedimus in the Pasuk. Namely, if you have no Chaviv, then the Jerusalem might as well could do what's earlier in the pasuk. They just have to know how to figure out what's earlier in the pasuk. Okay. Satisfied, Boaz?
I think so.
Excellent. Good. So now, Boaz, please, let's just read the part in between that we skipped over. I don't want to spend much time on this. I'll just explain. I think most of you didn't spend that much time in it, but go ahead. Upliga. Whoever, Rabbi Yosef or Yitzhak, whoever said that then, who's saying that the purpose, I mean, it's very interesting. You know what the purpose of the Pasuk of Shiva Seminim is? No. It's to tell you which comes first. It's very interesting. Firstly, I thought that the purpose of the Pasuk of Shiva Seminim was on a shot level to praise Eretz Yisrael. On a second shot level, to tell you that's what requires some type of bracha afterwards. Especially if you hold like the Rashba. That's interesting. I wonder if they talk about this. If you don't hold like the Rashba, then the only purpose is to speak to praise. See, this doesn't work so well for the Rashba.
Well, is it in general?
I understand that, but I'm asking this question. Why does the Torah list these things? If the Torah just lists these things in praise of Eretz Yisrael, so the Torah didn't. So you don't really need to list them. Right? You could just say Eretz Asher Peroseh Tovim, or Tovos. Right, Asher Peroseh Tovos. Why does the Torah go out of its way to list the Peros? Well, the answer is for Kedima purposes. But if you hold that Beracha Achas Meinu Shalosh, like if you hold like Rabbi Gamliel that you make Berachas Masor on Shas Meinu, or you hold like Rabbi Rashba that the Beracha of Meinu Shalosh on the Shiva Samin is the Raisa, then the Torah had to be Mefarid. Once the Torah has to be Mefarid, maybe there is no Kedima. So why does the Torah put some things before others?
What else could it have done?
Correct.
But it didn't mean two edits.
I think that was Elizabeth asking. If you're going to take it seriously, then it's not coherent because Rabbi Shana said, so the Pasuk may be teaching you the details of Rabbi Shana. But
this whole point becomes more emphasized than Gemara. Gemara says, you learn it for Shiur and then. Maybe
she
were
in the Dachshund, but it's like a contract. Yeah. Yes, it's true. Okay, you're right. It is all the Rabbanon. But I'm just pointing out that the Kedimas only matters if the Torah had a choice not to list it. So it listed it in this order. It listed it, and therefore it listed it in this order. Why else list it all? But if you have to list it anyway, so then maybe, well, once you have to list it.
I mean, isn't it obvious that we have to read it over again?
What's that?
Maybe the joke. The text tells us that even if it has to list it, there's of course some wisdom there. No?
Except for, no, because you can't make proof. You can't prove that there's a concept of Kedima. There might be a Chachma, why it makes sense to list Chita and Tzorah together. Now, that's all true. But the fact that some appear earlier than others cannot be necessarily to teach you Kedima. There's no reason to teach Kedima because something had to come first. Right, something had to come first in listing things. Okay, fine. The most important thing that's emerged from this conversation is that you are reminded that the Machlokas are shown where the Berach Achas Meinu Shalosh is the Raisa. That the rest of it is there, Philip. Right.
It is interesting in the appendix, the last sheet, which is sort of marks in the meaning of the Gemara Shlava Zachachronim in Shoshis Beres, and then told them that the Gemara's Kamachom in the first sugi of Kamachom in the Achronim Zerishon is true. So I think we have Achronim in the Reis, and Rishon is also the Reis in Kamachom.
What?
Rachol the Bachor Rishon and Shilas the Reis.
Did we discuss this earlier in the year?
I'm not sure. But it's definitely fringe, so
but
it was
nice
with it. It was one more
of our
slides.
Okay.
You can get some other ones,
fine. Nice. So the
Gemara says, so please get the Ruchanan. Hayalavish Kalev the Sandalav Raglav, Shitabusav Esposav. Hutamiya, the Hain Torn Ash, the Yishahev is Dejos Krav. So Pas Kitin, the Lopas, the Orid. So Mesa the Oakland, the Lissam, the Ora.
No, Mesa the Oakland, the Lissam.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Mesa the Oakland.
So what did the Gemara just say?
That it's about how long it takes to become it. And it's different, it takes longer for you to eat. Sweet than it does.
No, shorter kiwi.
Sorry, down one, yeah.
So there is a din that when you have a bias hamanuga, a bias which has a negatzaras, which is kind of interesting to have the shayis about this and these dinim, well, certainly because there never was a bias hamanuga, at least according to one day in the Gemara Tanit. But if you had a theory of bias hamanuga, the Torah says, Vavala bias koyimeis kiro so, yitmara ara. One who enters the house all the days that it's muska and kavachom, well, what, it can't be muchlat. You know why you can't enter a house after it's muchlat? Because it's been demolished. Okay, so abal abayis kol yemei hispir asar yitamada arav. V'hochel babayis yichabesis begadav v'hashulche babayis yichabesis begadav. So the question is hashulche begadav, and I never realized that. So first question is, what's the difference between abal abayis and v'hochel babayis? Because you're eating? So the Gemara just said it's not whether you eat in the bayis or whether you lie down in the bayis. It's the amount of time that you spend there. Now, the first part of the Mishnah is that what does begadah mean? Begadah means the clothing you're wearing. It becomes an effect tafel or secondary to your body. It's kind of like if you walk into the bayis for a second with your suit on, the suit didn't enter the house. The suit was kind of just batel to me. So it's called my begadah. So I have to go to the mikveh, but my begadim aren't there. But if I carry my begadim in, let's say, you know, I walk into the bayis and I'm like this, because I have to be, you know, important. When I walk into the bayis, well, guess what? My suit jacket is now tummy immediately, just like I am. There's no sheer shagia. But when I'm wearing it, if I walk in like this, so now, if it's a very quick walkthrough, Then my clothing remain to her. Now, why does it become tame as touching me? Okay. I'm not an avatama. I become a rishon l'tama when I enter the bias. Adam can't go, and Kalim cannot go below rishon at this midaraisa. And Adam doesn't go below rishon. I'll leave it at that midaraisa. So therefore, once I step out and I'm no longer in the bias, and my clothing were never in the bias, they were just on me, so I'm a rishon, I can't make them a shani l'tumah. Okay, so how long do I have to be shoa in the bias? So the Gemara says, ochel, kibishi rachiva. What am I eating? So I'm eating a mazon, a typical mazon of a meal. So that mazon is Achilas pras, paschitin velo pasorin, because wheat goes down more easily, so it's faster. Mesa v'ochlan b'liftan, you have a little mustard on it, because that also makes it go down faster. Now, where's the mesa? What is mesa for? Mesa means I'm focused on eating, I'm engaged in a seva. Where did they come up with the mesa part? It could just be a sarah, but I hinted to you, I just realized earlier. Where did they come up with the mesa part? Come on, you heard me say it. Hashochev abayis. That's the second half of the pasuk. I have to look up. I did the Torah's Kodim to see if they darshan anything from the Hashochev abayis. Well, Hashochev abayis, I mean, this is what they darshan from it. That it's the sheer shahia is ochel. It's today. It is a pas chikim. You know, ochel on the left hand. That's what is considered achiva. Fine. a little bit abstracted, but that's what the Gemara says, the relevance of Chita. Now, okay, so that's how wheat has an impact upon Shirim that would be different than something else. Next.
Sa'ura. It's not etem shisa'ura metameh v'maga v'masa.
So we mentioned this in Bikiyas on Sunday, that if you have a bone, before it reaches, let's say, Rova HaKav, and then it gets complicated, but less than Rova HaKav of just bones, then it's Metame B'maga or Masa. If it's less than a barley corn, it's not Metame at all. How much Basar is Metame, by the way? What, did we guess?
I know, sir.
No, that's not a bad guess, by the way. You know something.
I've heard
the term. The Kadash is the Shir Tama only by Sheretz. By all of the nevelos, by Basar Adam, the shear is the default shear, which is kezayis. That's going to come to the end. That's the end of the Gemara. It's a kezayis basar. Kezayis basar is metamed the naga, the masa, and ohel. But if it's chaser, a little bit less than a kezayis, it's not metamed at all. Whereas its bones have three stages: no tuma, maga masa, and the maga masa ohel. But basar is it's all or nothing when it comes to basar. Okay. So, etzem kesor is metam b'mav masav, ein metam ol. Next.
Gefen. Kirviz yayin l'nazir.
Okay, what does that mean? This is the odd one. Gefes today revius yayin l'nazir. How much is a revius, boss?
It's like 3.4.
It's a measure of capacity, right?
How do you measure? It's a measure of capacity. How do you measure it, Shimon?
I mean, I'm saying it's a quarter of another measure. Okay, measure.
That's for ayim. I ask for ayim. Perum, I think it's ba'ayim v'chatzi v'chomesh. It's 2 by 2 by 2.7 figures. That is how much a revius is. It is. It is 10.8 cubic fingers. How else do you think people measure things? I mean, you had a ruler in the Beis Hamikdash. You had 2 amos. But how does he think you measure things?
Archimedes existed back then.
Archimedes existed?
Yeah, for like water displacement and stuff like that.
Okay. Anyway, if you want to understand how the Revius Halug works, if you want to understand how that Cheshbon works, how much is in the Mikvah? If you want to write the Cheshbon, Jake?
60 sa, 40 sa.
40 sa. And what is 40 sa dimensionally? In Amos. 1 by 1 by 3 amos, 3 cubic amos. Now, in 40 sa, how many kabin in a sa? 6. How many lugin in a kav? 4. How many reviuses in a lug?
4.
Revius halug. There are 4 reviuses in a lug. So that's the. Now, if you wouldn't have to take that number, 10.8, which is revius halug. 10.8 cubic fingers. And how much is a cubic amma, by the way? Well, how many tfachim in an amma? 6 tfachim in an amma. How many etzbaros in a tefach?
4.
So there are 24 etzbaros in an amma. So 24 times 24 times 24. Is a cubic a finger is a cubic amma times 3 is 3 cubic ammas. That's the 1 by 1 by 3. If you were to break that down, then you would figure out that a revius halug will actually work exactly that way. You will get to 10.8 if there are 4 by 4 by 6 by 40 in the mikvah. So that is 96 times 40. 96 times 40 reviuses, and then you were to take that number. Make that the denominator, and the numerator would be how many cubic expos you have in a full mikvah. You'll find out how many reviuses. You divide it by the number of reviuses, you will get the number of cubic expos in reviuses, and it will turn out to be 10.8 cubic expos. Is that good, boss?
I mean, yeah. okay.
Are you puzzled why I know this?
No, isn't there like a Rashi somewhere? Doesn't Rashi do it in like Chazal?
You should know measurements in Chazal. It's very hard to learn when you don't know measurements. I mean, a lot of people get away with it, but, you know.
It's very hard to learn things out of off measurements.
Yes. So anyway, what is the revius then? A volume of 10.8 cubic exposed. So how does Geffen?
How long is Etzba?
You mean how? That, obviously, that's the question.
Yeah.
Who's Etzba? Mine or Og Melech HaBashan? And since we know they were much bigger than we are, because they're all giants, the Amma is, you know, 56 inches long. I'm kidding. That's the problem. We are far bigger than they are.
So that's
actually
only objective to a point.
What's that?
They're all proportional to each other, but the base isn't. Maybe the base is just objective.
So there is an amount, let me assume.
Oh.
There is an amount. So how does this make any sense? Do they reveal Yayin Manazir? In other words, the first shear is, I understand why chita plays a role. When you're trying to figure out the shear of achina, you measure by how a person can eat a certain amount of food, eating wheat bread, because that's what people normally eat, that goes down faster. So, ora, I understand, a barley corn is the size of a bone, that's metame. But what is yayin kidei revias yayin lenazir? What is gefen kidei nazir? Which weighs more, a pound of lead or a pound of feathers? Right? So Ravius, you think is a Ravius, is a Ravius. So not so fast. So Rashi writes, Kidei Ravius Yayin Nazir, Acha Chatzana Bezagim Lelovin Kishir Ravius Yayin, Chaya, the ain't she Ravius Yayin or Ravius Mayin, Shadin. They're not the same. The Fi Shehayayin of the Hamayin Kalushin. Wine is thicker and water is thinner, it's looser, it's less viscous. Probably, and wine is nowhere near as viscous as oil, but it's more viscous than water. And therefore, v'yesh b'rivias yain yosem imash yesh b'rivias yain kedamrinan b'shabes ka b'rivias yain sheyachal likra sholam al kazayis mishum b'samach avomidi b'kolish loha b'rivias yidei kazayis. So, apparently, what you have to measure is to get a revius is something that should be able to coagulate into and form when it condenses into a kazayas. And therefore, so different liquids, a revius, you need more or less than the revius when it coagulates, then it becomes a kazayas. So water, Rashi assumes that you would need more, I think. You need more water in order to, I mean, I don't know how water would coagulate anyway. Water would just evaporate. I mean, so would wine for the most part. Blood also must evaporate. You want something that doesn't evaporate and coagulate, so you know what you get?
Oil.
But anyway, so I think Tosis doesn't, I think Tosis has a different shot. Tosis says it has to do with the viscosity, displacement, and surface tension. Tosis says that a revius is a revius of volume. That doesn't make a difference. But if you, how do you measure whether you ate, if you had a grape, how do you measure whether you ate a revius or not? Well, the answer is you would take that size grape and you would put it in liquid, it would displace, and you would see if the displaced liquid had a revius. But in order to get a revius, in wine, you need more material to displace the revius because the wine has greater surface tension and therefore will form that, whereas the water has less surface tension. Whether, Boaz, you like the answers or not, you understand I'm really bothered by the question.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, are we in the discussion then, clearly?
Okay.
Wait, this might be after it displaces and falls out.
But is it true? Is it true that you figured that in the bathtub and ran through the streets of Athens and screaming, naked, screaming, Eureka?
That's the story.
That's the story.
Well, I mean, you
story.
Know, went to the actual story naked a lot more often.
Isn't the actual story with, like, his cousin was like a king and there was a...
That's the story. He needed to figure out how whether gold was unadulterated or not. I don't know if it's story. I don't know if the story may never happen, but it's true. Okay. Ephraim. Okay. Fine. His son of his language even here makes it sound like he's moving in that direction. Fine. That's the hardest one here. Next, Ana. Okay, so a fig. What is a grogeres? A dry fig. So if you want to know the shear hotzah for Shabbos stam, so is a grogeres. That's the default option for foods. The rule on Shabbos is Perek HaMatzniyah.
that generally speaking, the shear up to be higher than Hotzah and Shabbos. Like, for example, Jake always carries out on Shabbos. You know why? Because there's dust on his jacket, so he carries the dust out. So why are you not, why is that a Chol Shabbos? Why is that not Chol Shabbos?
Don't give him a throw.
Well, that's not the last one on Shabbos.
Because we're in a place
with
an Erev, and therefore
he's able to... No, I mean, even if there were no Erev, he would do it. So the answer is because it's tuchel, it's buckle, it's nothing, it's meaningless. You know, nobody say you're carrying something out. Then that's just on your shirt. You have dust on your hands, right? Nobody's going to say you're carrying something. Now, what if Jake, you have like a little bit of food, schmutz, stuff to your hands, and you walk out, are you carrying? Better question, right? The answer is probably not. Now, the answer is yes. It's a similar type of thing. But here, a Band-Aid is a piece of clothing you put on, and the question is it clothing, etc. Here, you have Shmutz. Now, let's say your hands are like, this is a real question. Let's say you stuck your hand into the fudge dish that they had there, and your hands are all soaked with fudge. But you don't mind. You had very good OT as a child, so you don't mind the tactile disturbances. And you know what you're going to do with your hands, Jake? When you walk across the street, what are you going to do? Even as you're walking, what are you going to do with your hands, Jake? You know what you're going to do. Speak the truth. Good. That you violate Hotzah. Well, the point is, if there's such a tiny amount there that you would ignore it, that's tough, it doesn't exist. At what point did we say that there's a sheer kasha? At what point did we say that you just got this thing there? I'll give you a better, for example, in your pockets, let's say, you may not do this now, but we do this for children, a great family story, Pesach is coming. So one year, my wife took Noam to the park on Pesach, and she reached into our jacket pocket, she put her hand in there, and she felt a bag with Ono. It was, oh my God, there are cookies in here. It's Pesach. She pulls it out, and to her relief and her consternation, it turned out that they were like Pesach oatmeal cookies from the previous Pesach.
Oh my
that looked identical.
Oh my
so on the one hand, it was much better that there was no chametz here. I mean, somebody forgot to check the coats. But on the other hand, it's like, what does it tell you if the oatmeal Pesach cookie looks the same? It's not oatmeal. Looks the same now as it did last Pesach. Maybe you shouldn't be eating it. So anyway, so let's say, Jake, though, instead of a whole oatmeal cookie, you have like some crumbs, little pieces, you know? Things that, I don't mean like dust, little crumbs. Do you have to like shake everything out before you got on Shabbos? And more to the point, Jake, let's say you went out with it. Would we say that you're carrying a chatzi shir? I think the answer is no. We would say that it's tafel. Right? Anything less than a certain amount, it's probably not even a chatzi shir hotzah if you're not intending to, if you don't want it somewhere. If you do want it somewhere, that may give it chashivas and they make it a malacha. You look at the first Mishnah HaMatznia, right? If there's something that's not chashiv of yours and I carry it out, it all depends upon the shir. If it's something of mine and I am not chashiv more than other people would, then it might be that I become chayiv in that. But the idea of ta'ina is a default option for food on Shabbos. There are other foods, other kinds of food substances, which may have different shear, but the default option, unless stated otherwise, is that regular food that you eat, which doesn't fall into some other category, it doesn't have some other shear, the shear is a grogeres. Okay, next.
Rimon. It is nine kol kli bale bakis kiuran rimonim.
Okay. So the shear of all kli bale bakis is a hand grenade. Right? What does it mean, shear and rimonim? A hand grenade works very nicely here. It breaks a hole, blows a hole in the plate. Blow a hole in the plate. The idea is that when a kli of a kli, and this I think is talking about kli cheres, but it might apply to other kalim. In order for a kli to be metabel tuma, it has to be fully functional. When it gets a hole, up until a certain size, it may still be considered functional, sufficiently functional. It really, part of what happens if a kli gets a hole of a certain size, but you know, not unlike today. Today, stuff is so cheap to manufacture, and we care so little about it that if our kli gets a hole, if our thing gets a chip, somebody might replace it. Whereas back then, materials were expensive, labor was relatively expensive. So if you had a kli, I think, by the way, incidentally, this is fairly recent. this is fairly recent. If you go back even 50 years, people were much more economical about stuff. I think it's before China became so, you know, entrenched in manufacturing. But, you know, there's the tradition on the Lower East, for the Lower East Side, you know, people often got their sets of drinking glasses. You know what they would use? The yahrzeit lamps. After they finished with them, you clean them out, and they became drinking glasses. You laugh, Boaz, but right, that makes perfect sense. Why would you throw a perfectly good glass out? A yahrzeit lamp? You've never seen a yahrzeit lamp? It's like a glass cup with wax, and if people light it for yahrzeit, they're... Which religion do you belong to, my friend? I think most Syrians would also know this. I don't know. I don't know if Sephardim use yahrzeit lamps to Ashkenazim do. It's a religion for Ashkenazim, I think, actually. It's really.
Yes, I have about it.
About a yahrzeit lamp?
Yeah, it's
probably possible. Okay. Anyway, so people here were economical, so you didn't just throw it out because it got a hole. So you repurpose it. So now it was motzi mashkim, so you can't use it to hold water anymore, even on a very short-term basis, and therefore you'd use it to hold maybe other stuff, fruits. When it reaches the shear of rimonim, and a rimon probably is the biggest fruit, right? And certainly within the scope of the Shiva Samidim, rimonim are by far the biggest fruits, right? They're bigger than grapes, and they're bigger than olives, and they're bigger than dates, and they're bigger than fig. So once it's motzi, kimotzi, rimonim, and even the balabayas, a potter is going to throw stuff out with less because he can't sell it that way. And it's one thing to have your own defective stuff that you repurpose. You don't normally going to go into, you don't walk into the store and say to the owner, well, you see, I see that pottery has a little, that clay has a hole in it. So, hey, what, can we bargain it down there? The owner's not going to sell you a clay with a hole in it. You know that people don't want to buy that. So once it reaches Kashir Rimon, even the Baal Bais is going to throw it out. Okay. Continue. Go on.
So,
a land of Zeishemen, a land whose all of its shirim are kizasim. So the Gemara says, what? Koshi Rasam, you just Ha'ika Hanach Tamarin. You just listed five other things, but when the shirim is not a kizasim, right? So what do you mean, Eretz Shekol Shirah Kizasim?
Eretz Shirah Shirah Kizasim.
There we go. Okay. And finally, like a fat date on your pepper. I think that is a bad Purim joke in the offing.
Oh, no. I got that.
I think...
You know, every culture... I saw a headline today. No, I saw a headline. It says... it said... You have to understand the sports event. It's not that hard, but it said NFL executives mock the top 10 members of the draft.
Oh,
the mock draft. Yes. You imagine a non-English speaker who's not familiar, not in the sport, looks at that and says, that's really stupid. Your top 10 guys drafted, you don't think that it's good for the league's brass to be dissing them. That's a terrible idea. You want to add them to be the face of the league. Right? So it's just a great headline. NFL executives mock the top 10 in the draft. So the same thing, you know, like a fat date on Yom Kippur. Okay, that could be a very offensive statement, or it could just be a reference to the fruit, but that's what a kosev is like asa. And by the way, uchigari nasa, with the pit also. Pit counts towards the volume. You need the volume with the pit also. If you get pitted dates and then you push them down because it's an air pocket, that's not the shear. It's with the pit inside. That's the shear of uchop Yom Kippur. Ki kosev is like asa biyom kippurim. All right, so obviously he disagrees with Rav Chanan, because Rav Chanan uses his pasuk to teach you the shiurim of halacha and halacha, and Rav Yosef wants to use it for kedima. So the Gemara answers
the hedra, these are not
what they eat. They're not explicitly. They don't know what the pasuk is for. Ella. Yeah, it doesn't mean the shiurim are the rabbanan. By the way, shiurim halacha l'moshem sina. This, by the way, this whole little mini sugya about the Shiva Saminim appears in a couple other places in Shas. And in Sukkah, I believe, it's in the discussion of the Makor, Shirin Chatzitzin Umachitzin Halacha Moshe Mitzina. So the Gemara says, wait, it's a Pasuk. The Gemara says, no, the Pasuk's not Smachta. But the Din's have been the Raisis, Halacha Moshe Mitzina, these are the Shirin. Fine. And then we have the story of the meal. Okay, fine. So we set it up on the sugya. I want to just read quickly the next sugya. I handed you all, I believe, a passage from the Otsar HaGaonim, which is the starting point of the discussion of Rishonim. It's not an easy, section to read, but I think it will. There are some things that are a little unclear, but I think it sets the framing for all the positions of the Rishonim. Not as clearly as one would like, but it sets it. So, just wanted to look at the Gemara quickly. Now, this Gemara, why is this Gemara here? So, I observed that it is an Ikar B'Tachlo question, like the previous Sugya might have an Ikar B'Tachlo question, like the coming Mishnayos say the Ikar B'Tachlo question, or put differently, the beginning of the Perek dealt with what brachos. You can almost see this Perek composed of almost of three topics. What brachos do you make on individual items? When does one bracha pater another bracha? When is something nitpal in all its permutations? And then what's the bracha for? It's the last mission of the parak. That's really covers the parak. So this fits in that sequence. It's also here, why is this itmar heviu lefnehem te'en v'anavim b'toch ha-suda? Why is this here? Because it's like the story of they brought out tamari v'riboni. It's not identical, they brought out fruits in the meal. They brought them out fruits. But now it's b'toch ha-suda. So amra huna, t'una bracha lefnehem v'en t'una bracha lefnehem. They require bracha rishon and another bracha achrona v'chein Rav Nachman tuna bracha fein tuna bracha achrein. The Rav Sheshes Amar no tuna bracha bein lefein v'lacharein. She'en l'chadaver she'tan bracha l'fan v'en tan bracha achrein l'pasavah b'kis l'mubah. I'm not going to explain very much, but this is the question. So we have a machlokes whether or not on these fruits we don't know why you're eating the fruits other than because you're supposed to eat fruits. You're eating the fruits in this meal. We don't know why, but it's a machlokas two against one whether you make bracha rishona only or bracha rishona bracha achrona. And Rav Sheshes, who says you make a bracha achrona, says the only time you don't make a bracha achrona in some situation of pasav abekissin. What is that situation? That's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Somehow it's supposed to be relevant to this. And then the Gemara says, upligad Rav Chiya. Probably all of them argue Rav Chiya that Rav Chiya pas poteres kol minei macho ve'am poter kol minei macho. Rav Chiya believes that if you make a bosei b'chanaretz, you make no brachos on anything that you eat until you bench. Why? Because in effect, pas is the king of foods. It's like the ikar. It definitionally renders everything a tata. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchosa, Dvarim Haba Mechamasa Suda, and this is the hard line. Dvarim Haba Mechamasa Suda, Besocha Suda, Eintunim Bracha, Lulafneim Belachrein. Things, I'm going to translate literally, because it's a big mouth locus what this means. Things that come on account of the meal, in the meal, during the meal, require no bracha. The shalom echamas asuda, if there are things that presumably boim betoch asuda, but the shalom echamas, they come during the meal, but they're not really part of the meal. So then, tu'unim bracha lifnehem ve'ein tu'unim bracha achrem. They require bracha rishona. Finally, la'achar hasuda. And the simple reading of this girsa is any foods that come la'achar ha-suda, or any of the foods that, meaning, both dvarim habam mechamas ha-suda and dvarim habam shalom mechamas ha-suda, if they come la'achar ha-suda, tun and bracha bein lefnehem bein lacharei. One more little piece. So shalu ben zoma, if neima omru dvarim habam mechamas ha-suda betoch ha-suda inam tun and bracha lo lefnehem lacharem, amal lehem ho pas potrata. Which does sound a little bit like I don't know if any Rishonim actually say that, but it sounds like a Rishonim. And by the way, we're not going to explore it, but you know what Rechiah says in the Bavli? I think the exact opposite. Rechiah is totally different than the Bavli. There is, by the way, almost no parallel in the Ushalmi, there's almost no parallel to, except for Rechiah's statement. You could look at the Fainai and discuss this briefly. So then they said to him, if wine comes then wine is part of the meal. Why do you have to make a bracha wine during the meal? Which is true. If you did not make kiddush before, and that's a question whether that should really work or not, but we assume it does. If you didn't make kiddush before, you have to make a bracha bar kargaf in the middle of the meal. Yihamotzi doesn't pot to that. So why not? He says, Shani Yayin begorin bracha liyatma. Something that Yayin is different, that it mandates its own bracha. Okay. So I'm going to stop with this. You will start tomorrow with the Perush HaGaonim. You can do all the Rashis on the Sugya except for the long one, which you don't have to do because I may talk about it briefly. That's about the Pasal of the Kisten, the the oddity of Rashi Shita. We will talk about what Pasad Pasad means in the Gemara, so I'll mention it briefly. That's not so central, and that also means the first Tosos, Elapas, Baba Kishtin, is also not so central, but then do the rest of the Tosos in the Sugya all the way on to Lachmanios. Now, you could also run through whatever. We'll probably want to also take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba in the Sugya, and while I would not necessarily, and we have to do the Balamor and the Ravid. Plus, I wouldn't do it, but in honor of Ephraim, I'll do the Ra'ah as well. So you can take a look at that. But you have a bit of material to cover. We may not finish this sugya before we start Chazarat HaDevachim.